And so as we look through the Old Testament, we realize that Jews sacrificed lambs continually. The altar was always red with the blood of animals because mankind had to continually offer sacrifices for sin.
Good evening, listeners. As we approach the joyful season celebrating of the arrival of our long-awaited Redeemer, it is our privilege to bring to you a message from our pastor, Brother Brian Grant, entitled, Who is Jesus? Because of the necessary time constraints, this will be a partial message which you can hear in its entirety on our church website, www.livinggodsway.org. Once again, www.livinggodsway.org. But without further ado, here is Pastor Grant.
A television interviewer was walking the streets of Tokyo a few days before Christmas. And he stopped a young lady and he asked her, "What's the meaning of Christmas?" Now, just so you know, although Christianity is not very popular, not too many Japanese are Christians, Christmas shopping is big in Japan. Just like in America. And so he stopped her, this young lady, and he asked, he said, "What is the meaning of Christmas?" The young lady laughed and she said, "To be honest, I'm not really sure." And then she said, "Is it the day Jesus died?" She was wrong, but there was a lot of truth to what she said. Because the manger has no meaning without the cross. This morning, as we prepare for the breaking of bread service, I want to talk a little. I want to continue this series. I've been speaking for the last two Sundays on who is Jesus. Because like this Japanese lady, there are so many people in our world who really don't know who Jesus is. And even some of us who know who Jesus is, we really don't know who he really is. So for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking on this subject, who is Jesus? Today, I want to add two final thoughts to this series. This special Christmas day, the Lord's birthday, I want to talk, first of all, that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And all the thoughts we've been bringing are thoughts from the Apostle John. And in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 29, the Bible says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Have you ever wondered why a lamb? Why is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why was this babe who came on Christmas Day? Why does the Bible describe him as the Lamb of God? Have you ever wondered about that? Now, some would say he's a lamb, and the reason the Bible calls him a lamb is because the Old Testament describes a number of lambs that were slain. And in fact, one of the primary ways to worship and to sacrifice to God was sacrificing a lamb. And there's some truth to that. But the only problem is that in Leviticus chapter 1, the first animal that's mentioned for the sacrifice is not a lamb. It's a bull. So why isn't Jesus then the bull of God? Why is he the Lamb of God? I don't have time to get into all of the details, the permutations and the combinations, but this morning I want to just leave you very briefly with two thoughts. Number one, he is the Lamb of God because lambs remind us of his character. Lambs remind us of his character. Number one, lambs are obedient. Amen. Lambs follow the leader. One of my good friends, he was out in Wyoming. And Wyoming is one of the states that has the largest amount of sheep farming. And here he was in this little town in Wyoming. And to his surprise, all of a sudden, a shepherd decided to lead his flock of sheep right downtown. This guy stood mystified, wondering how in the world could this shepherd lead this flock of sheep downtown and not expect drama, drama, drama. For sure, all the sheep would be scattering all over downtown. But to his shock, the sheep all followed the leader. Sheep are obedient, and sheep actually follow the leader. What an incredible picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lamb. Lambs follow the leader. Lambs follow the leader even to the slaughter. Isaiah chapter 53 verse 7 tells us he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, because lambs will follow the leader even to the slaughter. What a picture we can paint as the Lord Jesus Christ was there on Calvary's hillside. After they had beaten him and torn him apart because of your sin and my sin, and let's get this straight before we go even further. The reason that Jesus Christ had to come was to help you out and to help me out. Amen? If it wasn't because of your sin, come on now. If it wasn't because of your sin and my sin, Jesus Christ would not have to come. But he came here to pay the price of your sin and to ransom me from hell. And this lamb was obedient. Lambs remind us of his obedience. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. They beat him. They put the cross on his back. But nothing was going to stop him from going all the way to Calvary, because Jesus Christ was the obedient Son of God, and Jesus Christ was going to accomplish the will of his Father. And Jesus Christ went to the cross because of you and because of me. Lambs remind us of his obedience, but lambs remind us of his submission. Sheep are submissive. Do you know that sheep are submissive even when they are going to be sheared? You all know I don't know too much about farming. I don't think it's a surprise to anybody who comes to GC regularly. I wasn't quite sure. I was sitting at lunch this week and somebody said something about collard greens. Collard greens, I think they were talking about. Not collard greens, the little round things that we... Brussels sprouts! And I was so amazed to hear that Brussels sprout, because one of the ladies said, you know, they had a lot of GCA to give away this week, and they had some on the stalk. And I said, what? They grew on a stalk? It took me by surprise. So, you know, I don't know too much about farming. The only thing I know about these things is when I see them appear in the fridge. Amen. So I did my research about sheep, only to find out that when the Bible says these things, it's not speaking figuratively, it's speaking practically, because the studies tell us that amazingly, sheep, although they know that shearing them ain't no fun, sheep actually go to the shearer willingly, and they make no sound while they're being sheared. Can you imagine that? I tell you, you get your little son and you decide to just cut his hair. What a drama, drama. Take that daughter, and the first few times you decide to brush that little hair off, head or hair. But these sheep, they go, they submit. Isaiah 53 verse 7 tells us he was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet what? He opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God because of his character. He was obedient and he is submissive. Aren't you glad Jesus is a submissive Savior? Oh, if he wasn't submissive, the situation I'd get someone, he might have turned out differently. Amen. The Bible tells us that here he was in Gethsemane's garden, and as he contemplated what was ahead of him, the fact that he would have to become sin because of you and because of me. Yes, because of you. Calvary is all about you, and it's about me. And Jesus Christ recognized that he would have to become sin for us, that he was going to be separated from his Father because of our sin. And the Bible says the weight was so great. The Bible says that Jesus, his sweat was as great drops of blood falling to the ground. And Jesus said, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But aren't you glad he was submissive? Because of his willingness, because of his submissiveness to the Father, he went on, nevertheless, what? Not my will, but your will be done. Jesus Christ was submissive.
In a moment, we'll rejoin Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message. But first, let me share a special gift offer from Living God's Way. We're happy to make available to our radio audience The Word for You Today, a special daily devotional designed to encourage your walk with Christ. This daily devotional is available free and postage paid on your request. You are also invited to attend our Bible Institute each Tuesday night at 6:45 p.m. For details about the 4 Bible courses available, please call our office at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. We look forward to hearing from you. And now, let's return to the conclusion of today's message.
But listen, he's not the Lamb of God just because lambs remind us of his character. He's the Lamb of God because lambs remind us of his sacrifice. God had decreed that without the shedding of blood, there would be no remission for sin. And so as we look through the Old Testament, we realize that Jews sacrificed the lambs continually. The altar was always red with the blood of animals because mankind had to continually offer sacrifices for sin. Day after day, week after week, animals were being sacrificed, including lambs, were being sacrificed for sin. The altar was always red with the blood, but the blood of animals could not take away sin. The blood of animals appeased God's wrath for a while, but they did not take away sin. But something happened in Bethlehem's manger. Amen. Something happened in Bethlehem's manger because a different lamb had arrived. The Lamb of God had arrived. Not a man's lamb. God's lamb. God himself arrived in Bethlehem's manger. God himself arrived as our lamb. The invisible God took flesh and became like one of us so that he could be sacrificed for us. Isn't that good news? But listen, this lamb would do something all the other lambs could not do. Because Jesus took away the sin of the world. Did you hear what I said? Here's what, did you hear what John the Baptist said in John 1:29? He says, behold the Lamb of God, that what? That takes away the sin of the world. This morning I'm so glad that all my sins are gone. Oh, as Sunday school kids, we used to sing this little song, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And then at the end, we would say, they are G-O-N-E, gone. My sins are gone. How about yours? Oh, I know there's somebody here this morning and you're not sure your sins are gone because you're not sure you have received Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. You see, it happens the moment you open your heart and you say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and I thank you that you, the Lord God, that you came down to this earth to be the Lamb of God, to die in my place. And that unlike the other sacrifices, unlike the other lambs who could only cover sin, I am so glad that you, the Lamb of God, has taken away the sin of the world and you will take away my sin. Little kids, you can do it. I was only 9 years old when I did it, when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and he took my sins away. He'll do it for you. Sir, he'll do it. Listen, young lady, he'll do it for you. He'll take your sin. The Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is the Lamb of God because he's able to take away the sin of the world. But listen, secondly, listen good. No further sacrifice for sin is needed. Hebrews 10, you can look it up when you get home. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12. It tells us that after, it tells us how the Old Testament priests, they had to offer sacrifice every single day. But he said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen, it's done. It's finished. The work pay the penalty of my sin and yours is done. No wonder the writer says, because it was Jesus who paid it. He says, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. Today the world celebrates the birthday of Jesus. And we join in celebrating his birth. But listen, we got something bigger to celebrate, amen? We not only celebrate his birth, and that's good news, but we celebrate his death. That's better news. There ain't no salvation in the manger. There is salvation at the cross. There's salvation at the tomb. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. So what does the Bible tell us? Do you know what Jesus said? He never ever said to celebrate his birth. Did you know that? Did you know that? Isn't it interesting? The world spends all this time celebrating his birth. They love his birth so much that many churches are closed today. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know that? Oh yeah, a lot of churches are closed. Because after all, how could we celebrate his birth without gifts and family? I'm glad so many of you are here this morning. Can I say praise God? He is the reason for the season. He is the priority. He is the Lamb. It's all about him. And he says, listen, he doesn't talk at all about his birth. He says, what I want you to remember is my death. So this morning, what better time as we celebrate Christmas, as we celebrate the birth of the Lamb, what better time to celebrate his death? Amen. This is what has brought life. Before I sit down, let me just say one thing. In 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible warns us not to eat and drink unworthily. It's bread and it's wine. But it's not the bread in your house. This is a memorial. It's special. It's a memorial of what Jesus did. And he says, if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation. I'm going to suggest to you, you are our visitors, you are our friends. Don't be too much, you know, sometimes we're all in a hurry because everybody else is doing it. Don't join the flow. Let it pass you. Just pass the tray. If you're not sure you're saved, pass the tray. If you're not sure you're walking with the Lord in obedience, pass the tray. By the way, do you know you can fix things right now? Right now, even as the choir sings, you can talk to Jesus. God, I've been living a mess. I'm saved, but I'm living a mess. God, take me. I ask your forgiveness for the mess I have done. Oh, it could be that you're here this morning and you're not saved, but you're willing to get saved. You may say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I want you to come into my heart.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
We trust that you've enjoyed listening to this portion of Pastor Grant's message, and if you would like to hear it in its entirety, we again invite you to visit our message search engine at the website www.livinggodsway.org. Once again, www.livinggodsway.org. But once again, here is Pastor Grant with a word about next week's broadcast.
I'm so glad you tuned in to today's broadcast. Next week, we'll be airing a special one-hour Christmas edition of Living God's Way, so make plans to join us. The broadcast begins at 5 p.m. and will feature our church choir and a special message from God's Word entitled, Jesus, the Light of the World. I'm sure it will be a real blessing, so make sure to save this time and invite your family and friends. So until next Sunday at 5 p.m., this is Pastor Brian reminding you that the best way to live is to live God's way.